From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Jenna Gibson. This week, we're going to be talking about Korean language, which has been growing in popularity in the United States and around the world. Some of you may know Middlebury College, which is famous for its language programs. And 2 years ago, Middlebury Language Schools opened the School of Korean for the first time. They have now gone through 2 summer programs and are hoping to continue to teach Korean to a wide variety of students here in the United States. Here to talk to us more about Middlebury Language Schools and Korean in general is Sahi Kang, the director of the School of Korean. I sat down to talk to her about how things have been going so far, what kind of students are learning Korean, why it might be so popular here in the United States, and much more. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you for inviting me, actually. Yeah.
You recently completed the second year of the Korean program at Middlebury. So how has the program been going so far?
Well, of course, as the director, I have to say that the second year was a huge success, as the first year was a huge success. I'm not just saying this because I truly believe that most summer programs went pretty well, but simply because Middlebury College itself supported a lot to establish the new program. And also I hired very dedicated faculty members from all over the nation and one from Korea last year. And they are really dedicated and highly qualified faculty members. And at the same time, I got really amazingly highly motivated students. So made the whole program very successful, I would say. Yeah, that's in a nutshell. you want to know more about the program?
Sure, yeah.
Probably you are familiar with Middlebury language program, summer language program, and we follow the similar model. Definitely language pledge is the main tool there. So the students, when they arrive, the first day, they have to do the language pledge, meaning that they promise that they will use Korean all the time until the end of the 8 weeks. And it is a very intensive program, and it is amazing and impressive that students, all of them, even if they are level one, who never had any Korean before, they really worked hard to stay in the language. I'm very honest about it. Of course, they are very much stressed out with that pressure of using only Korean all the time. But I think that is one of the reasons why the program is so very successful. And with the language pledge, we have actually, we provide students 4 hours of instruction, classroom instruction every day, 5 days a week, 8 weeks. So for 8 week intensive program, we offer 12 college credit hours for the student. So students take 4 hours of class instruction every day. After that, they have every day, we have different kinds of so-called co-curricular activities. These are cultural immersion. Using only Korean, they are participating in many different Korean cultural activities. These are cultural clubs. So they do drum dancing, taekwondo, calligraphy, of course, K-pop dance team we have, and they all enjoy participating in these cultural activities every afternoon. And in the nighttime, we also have other activities like film nights and some Korean performances and things like that. So everything really, I would say, went pretty well as planned. I planned everything early on in springtime, of course. And yeah, all the performers and guest lecturers, they did a good job, great job. And our students really enjoyed all the events and activities. But at the same time, they still worked on the language learning so much. And daily, I believe, gained quite some Korean proficiency in such a short time.
I actually forgot to ask, this is a very important question, but how many students participated?
Oh, actually, Middlebury has this policy to start any language school with 30 students. This is the minimum student number. So we started with 30 students last year. And this year, our projection was 10 more students, increased by 10, so 40 students. So 40 students got admission this year out of 118 applicants. But, well, of course, some people didn't continue applications and things like that. 40 students got accepted, but we started with the program with 36 because 4 students canceled it at the last minute. So this year we had 36. And we have 5 levels. Last year we started with level 1 to 4 levels. And this year we added a level 5. Actually, these levels are equivalent levels to regular academic year programs. Because as you can imagine that it is an intensive program. For each level, we provide 12 credit hours. 12 credit hours mean 4 different language courses, actually.
So I'm curious, what made Middlebury decide to add Korean to its language program at this time? Was there something in particular that sparked the decision?
Actually, you know, I was not in Middlebury. I used to work at the Federal Government Institute, Defense Language Institute, for over 23 years. And they contacted me in 2014. They were looking for some resources to support their establishment of School of Korean. And at that time, I was talking with the leadership and other staffs and learned why they decided to add Korean. Well, I myself, as an outsider, have been wondering why Middlebury didn't include Korean for many years. And it's not surprising that they told me that they've been considering adding Korean for many, many years whenever they started a new school. But many times they didn't choose Korean, rather they chose different languages. But this year, I think the decision was made based on many different inputs from, of course, there were Korean students in Middlebury. It's a small liberal arts college, but there were Korean heritage students there. And also there were non-heritage students who are interested in Korean culture, pop culture, and wanted to learn Korean. And in fact, one student told me that she came to Middlebury to study Korean. But she found that there's no Korean course, and she started majoring in Japanese. So she came to summer school when she was in senior last summer. And just like that, many students, I was told, that are interested in learning Korean, but they didn't have Korean. So they demanded the college to start a Korean program. And at the same time, I was told that there were many demands from outside, that why you have all other language schools but not Korean? Many students really ask for Korean program, whether it is there, are they going to study? And last but not least, I would say that the visionary leadership in Middlebury, our late vice president who actually established this School of Korean, really considered to start the School of Korean because of all these demands. And he thought that in order to have real East Asian studies programs, strong ones, they have Chinese, Japanese, but didn't have Korean. So he thought that Korean should be added to really to make their East Asian program well-standing one. Yeah. So all these things made them to do the market research. So they did a market research, and then they found that definitely Korean language is on demand, and they really need to start a Korean program. That's what I was told. Well, this is a summer program, so Middlebury still doesn't have regular academic year Korean program yet. But I'm just envisioning that someday we might start the academic year Korean program.
Yeah, it's a good start at least.
Yes.
So I'm curious, what kind of students have been attending the School of Korean? How do they become interested in Korea and in learning Korean? And what do they hope to do with their language skills once they do learn some Korean?
Yeah, interesting question. Actually, almost half of them are undergraduate students from all over the country. Many different universities or colleges they are from. And in fact, there were only one or two students from Vermont Middlebury College, and many others are from different colleges. And so I said half of them are undergraduate, and the other half is mostly graduate students who are studying in different principles, but focusing on Korea. And also few of them are professionals, like working in government, federal government. This year, I had a couple of military students working in U.S. military. And last year, I had another federal government employee. And it is well known that Middlebury, other language schools have many learners from federal government. So it's not surprising. So also not this year, last year we had one college professor who who is the oldest student, but it's not surprising again. In other language schools, we have many college professors and retired professors, also journalists and some executives from companies, and some people who are working in international organizations, humanitarian organizations who are working for other countries. So we have a similar shape in our school. So different kinds of students we have.
So one thing that I've actually written about this before, and I thought it was really interesting. Last year, the Modern Language Association released some numbers, and the enrollment of foreign languages is really dropping. I think it was 6%, around 6%, that it dropped. But then Korean increased by 45% between 2009 and 2013, and I'm sure it's just continued to go up. What do you think is behind this trend? Why is Korean doing so well when other languages are dropping?
Well, generally, I would say the universities are not emphasizing the importance of foreign language learning anymore. And a lot of us who are not just in Korean language education, a lot of us in foreign language education field are really concerned about that. And probably you heard that some universities really canceled the foreign language requirements. I know that in this internet era, many people also claim that you don't need to learn foreign language, especially Americans who are known to be monolingual person generally. America is the world, the strongest, powerful country, so you don't need to learn other languages because many other people speak with the English, and English is the medium for communication in internet. And many people think that it's a waste of time. And our generation, younger generation in 21st century, they are under a lot of pressure, more pressure they have than my generation, because, the world is more, I would say, complicated and sophisticated, and they are really pressured to get a high-paying job after graduation, but at the same time, I would say they have less opportunities than we did. So whenever we graduated, we got the job back 20, 30 years ago, but nowadays it's not like that. So students definitely try to find a good job that is related with their major or what they are studying. And some of our colleagues and I share the concern that many students feel that foreign language learning doesn't really necessarily help them to get a good job or something like that. And also a lot of students who are taking Korean courses, just like many other language courses, are not going to be the major majoring in Korean. They are taking Korean for many different reasons, but they are not going to be the Korean major. So probably because the foreign language educators did not really convince college administrators as well as students that foreign language learning is very important, not only for getting a job, but also we believe researches tell us that foreign language learning really helps your brain to develop further. And then I'm not saying that the foreign language learners are smarter than non-foreign language learners, but there is a lot of researches tell us that foreign language learning, you can develop a lot of different skills like problem-solving skills and also understanding different cultural behaviors better than those people who don't know other languages, things like that. So I think Korean, well, I know that a lot of American students try to do something different from their peers. It's interesting that, well, a lot of students are learning Chinese, a lot of students are learning Japanese, and these students are some people who are interested in East Asian cultures, Asian cultures and language. And nowadays, I know that American students really, they tend to do something different from others. I don't know. That's what I got from many, many of my students, and also one of the Korean TV personality who is American student studying in Korea also told me that one of the reasons why he picked Korean is because he didn't want to learn Chinese that everybody wants to learn. He didn't want to learn Japanese, same reason. And he looked for something very different and something that could be very challenging, and he found Korean. So, and at the same time, of course, K-pop, Korean culture, pop culture is one of the driving source for many young generation get interested in Korean language and culture, I would say. Definitely, we cannot ignore that it is the big factor there. But interestingly enough, the students in Middlebury, half of them are not interested in K-pop culture at all. But very interesting, especially older students, they are more serious about learning Korean. And many students are interested in North Korea. One student told me that one of the reasons why he wants to study North Korean history, well, is because it is a very, he said, strange country, and he wants to study it. And in the future, maybe there would be some demands for Korean speakers who could do some kind of probably humanitarian work for North Korea or Korea in general. So, yeah, I was just very impressed by those students who are interested in North Korean aspects of many different areas, because they were really thinking of the future. And then they think that not only South Korean economic growth and all these K-pop cultures, learning North Korean society and their language really will help them to do something that contribute to the bigger world, world peace or something like that.
It's really interesting that you mentioned that some American students kind of want to do something a little different, because I really identify with that personally. When I was graduating from college, I was thinking I should go abroad or, you know, do something. And I didn't want to go to China. I didn't want to go to Japan. And I ended up going to Korea because it was a little different. So that's pretty much exactly my story. So I understand. I'm really curious about, you know, the Korean government is really invested in promoting Korean culture and also Korean language. They have these institutes all over the world. We have one here in Washington, D.C., you know, teaching people Korean. And I'm wondering, what are your suggestions to help this trend of learning Korean continue? Either, you know, suggestions to the government who are investing in this, but just in general, what do you think would help the trend continue?
Well, that's a very difficult question. But in fact, I would say Korean government has done a great job for the last probably about two decades. They've been funding us, the Korean language educators in the States as well as worldwide, to promote teaching Korean language. But one suggestion I want to give to the Korean government is that they should not use the cookie-cutter approach to different countries, meaning that definitely Southeast Asian countries, China, Korean is very popular over there because of K-pop. And they themselves call this Korean wave, you know. So whenever Korean government funds any program, Korean program there, they can do really abundant events and activities and attract many, many different students there. But America is a little different. Well, I'm currently the president of AHK, American Association of Teachers of Korean. We just had the 21st annual conference in Emory University in June. This conference was founded in 1994 with the generous support by Korean government, definitely. Korea Research Foundation and Korea Foundation both supported us starting from 1995, and we are very grateful for their generous support. But when the funding is given to the real people who are executing those funding for real purposes, I think Korean government should really do more aggressive approaches, meaning that sometimes we felt that funding for certain things are not really good enough to really compete with our rivally languages. You know, foreign language teaching is actually requires a lot of collaboration with other language groups, but at the same time, it is a competition. It's the reality. And of course, we need to coexist and we need to work together, but at the same time, in order to really survive through this tough competition, I think Korean government needs to really study more details of how language programs are surviving in the States and then do more aggressive approach when they make a decision on fundings.
Okay, well, I think we should end there. Thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your thoughts and sharing your opinions. 감사합니다.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me, having me.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this great discussion of Korean language in Middlebury's new School of Korean. For those of you who are interested in learning Korean or who are interested in learning more about those who are learning Korean, we have also done an interview in the past with Talk to Me in Korean. So you can go on our website, keia.podbean.com, and check out this and some other past episodes that talk about lots of different things related to the Korean Peninsula. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already, and we'll see you again next week for another great episode.